Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee and a fabulous service department that backs it all up. One-stop shopping at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Caps come from behind.
Wing boards. Capitals through the neutral zone. Johansson drops it there. Quick shot, scores! Kuznetsov, who had not scored a goal in January, gets the overtime game-winning goal 26 seconds into overtime.
0 for January, and then on January 31st, in the 3-on-3, he wins it. Nice job. All right. Chimdi Ono is the signee today for Penn State football. 6'5", 275, out of Duntalk in Baltimore. It's 23 for Penn State they've signed. 11 of the 23 are already on campus. Mega Barnwell, Alex Birchmeyer, Anthony Donko, Lamont Payne, Tamir Robinson, Tony Rojas, Joey Schlafler, Jackson Smolik, Zion Tracy, Elliot Washington, and Javon Williams are already on campus. Chimdi Ono is the latest to get into the fold. Three-year letter winner. Team went 26-4 during the 3 years he was a letter winner. He plans on majoring in mechanical engineering or business at Penn State, and eventually would like to get into manufacturing. That's at least his initial goal. And he'll come in at 6'5", 275, and go from there. That's 23 that they were able to sign. And he is a four-star prospect, by the way. And a consensus four-star by Rivals on 3/24/7. And he is rated the number 4 overall player in Maryland by On3.com. Also lettered a couple of years in basketball and also track and field. He was the Maryland state champion last spring in both the in the shot put, as a matter of fact. He is also second team All-County in basketball. Something tells me Chimdi was a power forward. Move that guy off the block. All right. So there we go. So that's the recruiting news for Penn State. Tom Brady retired today. I think that's the end. Matt, of course, thinking of nefarious things, has him with 18 different teams already. I worry about you.
I only make these predictions based on what I've seen before. That's all.
I think he's done this time, Matt. I really do. I think this, like, he's done. He's 45. Hard year in a lot of ways. And not only that, the fit, to me, when I see a guy lose 15 pounds during the course of the season, I think even at that point, you got to look around and say, I don't think this is worth it. I just don't. So, all right, tonight, Penn State's got Purdue, so the nation's number one team, unanimous number one. We all know Zach Edey's is the focal point of what goes on. 7'4", 295 pounds of him. He really does a lot, you know, almost everything he does scoring-wise, except for the free throw line, where he's become a, he's a better free throw shooter than he was last year. But for the most part, what he does is within 3 to 6 feet of the basket. Maybe he can push him out to 10. He can still hit that jump hook. And what's interesting about him is because he is 7'4", and he has the wingspan, when he shoots that ball, he's one of the few guys I've seen that takes the ball and he shoots it down. Right? I mean, he shoots the ball down at the bucket. He's become a better passer, which in what Matt Painter wants to do, if you want to be effective with this and get open shots on the perimeter, most teams, now Michigan State, I mentioned the other day, you know, time doesn't like to double guys. And Tom doesn't have an NBA background, but he does a lot of things like NBA coaches. NBA coaches don't like the double. And, you know, the first time Michigan State played them, remember, Edie won it with 2.2 seconds to go, and they beat Michigan State by one. So second time through, they tried a lot. And the game, remember that Purdue only scored 63 points. So they try to do the same thing again. In other words, we'll single them and we'll try and eliminate other people. Now, the problem for Michigan State was they didn't shoot the ball well in the first half. Second half, Michigan State shot the ball well. They shot 50%, but they were behind and it didn't matter. And he scored 38 on them. Nobody else really scored. David Jenkins came off the bench, had 11. He was the only other double-figure scorer that Purdue had in the game. Purdue's played a lot of close games this year. They've had 7 games decided by 5 points or less. They've obviously won 6 of them. The one they lost was when Cam Spencer hit the shot for Rutgers to beat them here at Mackey. Penn State led them at halftime. Then the start of the second half, the wheels fell off the wagon, and Penn State fell behind, and they just, at that point, could not catch up with this group. Look, they're going to have to shoot the ball well tonight. You know, do they have to shoot the ball 50%? No. They have to shoot the ball 50%. But they're going to have to shoot, you know, as a team in the mid-40s. And I would think making 10 to a dozen threes would have to be a part of it. You know, because it's a part of what Penn State does. It's not as if Penn State... You can get a little bit of a misnomer about a team, like, well, hey, they live and die by the three. Obviously simplistic, but, you know, it's, and I understand simplistic because you don't break things down the way we do. And I totally understand it. But Penn State's a 53.7% two-point shooting team. I mean 53.7%, nothing to sneeze at. That's a really good number. But Penn State is still fourth in the nation in threes. I mean, they're fourth in the nation in percentage, in threes, things like that. I mean, there's a lot of things that come into play with how they go about it. And it's going to be an important part of what they do tonight. And that's where, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Michael Henn plays tonight. Because Henn is the kind of guy where he's older. I don't know how you hold up against this guy. You're going to have to get some help from him, or he's going to have to miss something along the way. Because, I mean, a lot of what he does is so point blank. And yeah, I think you've got to somehow, some way, make him move a little bit on defense, if it's possible. And this is where I talked about Henn. Henn can pop out and he can shoot a three, which means that Edie has to come out and follow him because Purdue plays man-to-man concepts. I mean, can you make him work a little bit on that end of the floor? Because I give him all the credit in the world. Because at the Palestra, where the Palestra, of course, even in January, it gets, and that building is filled up, and that building was, like, they shoehorned people into that building on the January 8th game. It was hot, and Penn State's winning at halftime. And I had made the comment to Dick. I said, you know what? I said it's hot in here. He's a big man. I said, let's see if they can maybe run him out of gas a little bit in the second half. Matt, they never came close to running him out of gas. He played 32 minutes in the game. He looked as fresh at the end. I give him a lot of credit. His conditioning is really good. I mean, sometimes with a big man, you can kind of run him out of gas a little bit, you know, kind of get him tired, last 10 minutes, it's like, you know, need a couple more breaks. Nope, not him. He played that game on January 8th. He was as fresh with 5 minutes ago as he was 5 minutes in. I give him a lot of credit for that. Good player. Caleb First, the power four, is the guy that has struggled of late. Ethan Morton is a guy that does a lot of dirty work for them. He's not a big scorer from Western Pennsylvania. They still bring Mason Gillis and Brandon Newman off the bench. They bring David Jenkins off the bench. Wren's the guy that will come in the game, and he'll replace Edie when Edie does get a break. The two freshman guards have been critical to what they've done. Lawyer's been really good. And I think you saw his brother play at Michigan State, and then, of course, down at Davidson, his brother's played very well. But he's come in here, and he has shot the ball well. He's been a beneficiary of Edie's presence down low. He's a guy that you have to keep an eye on the entire time. Now, Smith, Braden Smith, who runs this show, right, he's finally started to show a couple little cracks in there the last couple of games. He has not shot the ball as well. He hasn't hit a three-pointer his last two games. Now, he may come out tonight and hit five. I don't know. But he is not the last couple of games. And the key with Smith is you've got to somehow direct him in such a way where, if he's going right, he has the ability to make a lot of plays going right. If you can somehow shade him in such a way, make him go left, that'll help. And look, you got to keep contact with this team all night. What's one thing about Purdue, and it's something that's in their game notes, I mean, about the runs that they go on. They seem to thrive on that one great run. All right? Can you somehow keep it to a minimum? And just play. Dick and I have not done a game in this building since Penn State won in here. Lundy had 18 in the game, and it was the 2020 season. When they played here in 21, that was the season we weren't allowed to travel, so we had to do it off a monitor. And it was the game right after Illinois. Penn State had missed all these games. I'm trying to think, what was the first? I think this may have been the first game. Yeah, it was the first game. The first game after COVID. They had missed all, like, 3 weeks or some number like that. It was crazy. It was the first game back. And the first game back, you got some juice, some jump. Penn State played pretty well. Got down the last couple of minutes. Didn't win. Then they went to Illinois. Dick and I said, they will have no legs at all. This is not going to work. And Illinois ran them out. We're like, huh. But the last time Dick and I were in the building together was when they beat Purdue. In 20. And yes, as they were coming into land last night, Matt, do I know what ran through my mind as we were coming into land? 5 months to the day, came into land at that airport to get ready for the opening football game. And today is 5 months to the day since Sean Clifford hit Kevon Lee with that touchdown pass in the corner of the end zone at Purdue.
Exactly right. It was a good night.
You know what is interesting? Penn State had 11 wins this year. That's the only one they had by 7 points or less.
That's right. Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
And how often have you heard me say, what do the really good teams do? The really good teams are not in close games. The really good teams are not in close games. Now, Purdue's a really good team, and yeah, they've been in a bunch of close games. That's what's interesting about them. And Houston, for the most part, now Temple aside, because Temple beat them, Houston, for the most part, when they win the game, they usually win by double digits. Purdue has had a lot of games, and maybe it's a product of the conference, product of the schedule, whatever. They've had a lot of closer games than I think people realize. So we'll see. Look, 5 minutes to go, you'd like to be sitting there 5 minutes to go because we're going to be right next to the bench tonight. And you'd like to see, like, okay, the wheels are turning on both sides. Let's see how it goes. That's what you'd love to see. especially if you're a Penn State fan. If you're a Purdue fan, you don't want that. You want to get rid of these people as quickly as you can. But if you're Penn State, you're like, 5 minutes ago, hey, the wheels are turning. This is great. That's what you're hoping for along the way. You're hoping that your experience makes a big difference as well. No, I did not ask Micah what it was like to be back. And my reasoning was simple. He's Penn State's coach. So let's talk about Penn State. There's enough people that have asked him about what it's like to be back, okay? And he thought about going back. What has Matt meant to you? You know what I mean? He's been asked all that stuff, right? So do I have that? So I just didn't feel like I needed to ask it. I needed to ask him as the Penn State coach about Penn State. So, because I feel like that he's been asked all that stuff this week. And that's the reason why. And I just feel like, hey, you know what? You're not Purdue's coach anymore. You're Penn State's coach. So. I infuriate you.
No, it is perfectly understandable. But the number one thing for me, looking at this game tonight, win or lose, how physical are they, especially on the boards?
That was the last thing that he talked to them about today. He said they got to the last part, and the last part was rebounding. That was actually the last part. Rebounding. Look, you can't give up a lot of second chance points to this group. You just can't, because that is a prescription for disaster. And rebounding, look, every once in a while, look, the guy's 7'4", he's going to get it, okay? But for the most part, it is like positioning and who wants it more, all right? Well, get yourself in the right position and want it more. And they did a good job on Sunday. Penn State was plus 9 against Michigan on Sunday. And Hunter Dickinson only had 2 rebounds in Sunday's game. You know that? That's all he had.
Yeah, he was a complete non-factor.
A couple reasons for that. One, Penn State did a good job on him, Matt. So you can't for a second discount the job Penn State did. They kind of came at him in a couple of ways they didn't expect. He also looked to me like he didn't quite have the legs.
Right, since they had the Thursday game.
The Thursday game,
with
and
Purdue.
guess who's leaning on him for 2 hours? And not only with leaning on him, but, I mean, on offense, Dickinson moved a lot on offense that night. He moved a lot out to the perimeter. He hit a couple of threes, but out to the perimeter, onto the post, now to the back to the perimeter. I mean, he was in constant motion, and I think it kind of showed because they played Thursday late. They're the ones that, you know, whenever I talk about Penn State's quick turnarounds, and I always tell everybody, it's like, it's not right, it's not fair, okay? What do I always do when it happens to somebody else? What do I always do?
Always point that out, too.
Yes, because that way, when I talk about it happening to Penn State, people say, well, you know, when it happens to other teams, Steve's fair, he talks about them, too.
And it's not like this was an 8 p.m. tip. That was a 9 p.m. tip.
That was a 9 o'clock tip because that's what TV meant.
Yep.
And then they had to play at noon on Sunday. Like, great. Now that worked to Penn State's benefit. Right? So it worked to Penn State's benefit. But I want to be also fair about, like, you're talking about, like, they did a great job in Dickinson. They did. And maybe if Dickinson gets off to a better start in that game or something like that, maybe he goes out and you know, maybe has a better day, but he didn't get off to a good start in the game, and he just kind of felt as the game went, he just didn't have the legs to do it. And Penn State took a lot away from it. I mean, Penn State deserves a lot of credit for that. And as Micah told me, he said, look, I wasn't surprised by the way, you talk about his team, my team reacted. You just got to take care of you, right? You don't sit there and worry about the other guy. Take care of you. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back more in a moment. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just
just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, final half hour. And then Dick Girardi and I are going to drive over to the arena. We mentioned one of the stronger turns in all of sports. You make a left at the Neil Armstrong Hall of Engineering and make a right onto John Wooden Drive. Strong. Chimdi Ono. Signing his letter of intent to play football for Penn State. 23rd recruit in a very strong recruiting class. You feel like back-to-back they have stacked these two recruiting classes. That's big moving forward. Now, you need to do it again. And they'll be the first to tell you that.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And it's all backed up by a service department that is second to none. Take care of the routine, and they take care of the difficult. They take great care of your vehicle. Great technicians there. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Penn State Purdue tonight, 6:30, 6 o'clock we get rolling, and let's see how it plays out. I mean, yesterday Matt was ripping apart Tom Izzo. Did that on Monday, too. You ripped apart Tom Izzo.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Which leads me to this question. Is Micah going to double-team Edie tonight?
Oh, I think you'll see a mix. I mean, you've got to throw different looks at him.
Yeah, I agree.
No question. But you got to remember, like, this is something that... now, what do I always try to... this is why I tell the students. And I got this from Joanne Scott at the NCAA. When she talks to young people. So I stole this from her. Right? And my advice when I talk to students, which, I stole this from her, is this. Be curious, not critical. And I think that's always important, to be curious as to why somebody does something. When you've done this as long as I've done it and you've been in as many film sessions as I've been in, there are times where you've got to make a bet on something if you're the coach. All right. I'm going to make a bet that you can't hit threes. Right? So I'm going to double down here. Or I'm going to try to choke off your threes, and I'm going to make the bet that my guy can handle just enough down there to give my team a shot. And that was the bet he made, And the first time around, he almost won with it. He lost by a point. Second time around, he lost with it. And sometimes you've got to make that, you know, sometimes those decisions are so difficult where you're like, okay, what do I got to do here? Because, for example, say you go in double, and what happens if Smith and Lawyer go off and hit threes left and right, and the two of them combine for 32 points? Right? What happens then? Well, you did a great job of doubling them, but but you lost because these two guys. I mean, sometimes you got to, like, at times roll the dice a little bit as to how you play it. There is not one surefire solution as to how to play this guy. If there was, they would not be 21-1. And he wouldn't be averaging 22 points a game. Right?
No, you're right. I just think you have to at least mix it up, exactly what you said, not totally ignore it like Tom Izzo does, because that's his own stubborn way of doing things. Even though, obviously, he's won a lot of games in a championship.
But the first time he did it, he lost by a point. Right? And they held him to 63. So they held him 11 points below their average. So wouldn't you come in with the same plan the second time around?
That's fair.
That's why I'm here. I'm not in the business of defending Tom Izzo, but I look at it, although I will say this for anybody who's been critical of Tom and so on and so forth. When everything happened with Joe 11 years ago, who was a public voice that supported Joe? And when I privately talked to Tom about it, he got, I mean, I'm talking got emotional about it. Like, he really couldn't talk. You know, and he got teary-eyed, and he looked at me, and he said, Steve, and I said, hey, Tom, thanks for what you said. Right, so when you're in the public as often as a guy like that is, you're going to get criticized when you're, and so forth. But there's a little more to some people sometimes than people realize. Okay, and I try hard not to forget that. That's why I refrain from referring to people as dopes. Matt.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't? Oh, okay. That's it. Oh. All right. And then Tom Brady retired today. I think you've called Tom Brady a dope, haven't you?
I wouldn't be shocked if I did at one point, but I can't say I recall right off the top of my head.
I've done it so many times, I don't recall specific incidents. Which way are you referring to? I had to laugh this morning. I got up and I saw that, in fact, my phone buzzed, and it was the fact that Tom Brady was retiring. I'm like, okay. So I clicked over to ESPN.com to see if they had the story up yet. And the story was not up yet because he had done it on his own, and so it, boom, it kind of burst through. So whomever's writing on ESPN.com had not had a chance to headline it yet. So I want to be fair there. But what's the top story? LeBron's triple-double beats Knicks and over. I'm like going, oh, for goodness sakes. They're 24-28. Let me see something here. Let me just see in the East.
No good! No good! No good!
I want to do a quick comparison here. I want to do a quick comparison just to look here. Standings. And the Lakers, as we all know, the Lakers right now are out of the playoff picture at the moment. They are, well, there's 15 teams, they're 13th. Okay, they're 24 and 28. Okay, so let's count back in the East. Orlando. Orlando is 13th in the East. Have you heard a single story about Orlando this season?
No, other than they're somehow 20-point comeback against the Sixers the other night, and the Sixers got him again tonight. But other than that, that's it.
Except for the fact that Orlando's beaten the Celtics three times, right?
Oh, yeah, and there was that was that, too. Yes.
Which I find somewhat confusing. But
well, the Sixers blew a 20-point lead to him the other night and play him again tonight. So, yeah, you got me.
I mean, they got Banchero. There's a budding star right there. But they're in the same spot in the East that the Lakers are. Same spot. And not only that, Orlando is 3.5 games out of the 10th spot. The Lakers are currently 2 games out of the 10th spot. Right? Yet, it's all Lakers all the time. Do you ever hear anything about Orlando? No. Toronto. Toronto is about the same record the Lakers do. Right? And they're a game out of the last playoff spot in the East. Do you ever hear anything about Toronto? Do you even know who's on Toronto's team?
Not anymore, because you know why? They don't have Kawhi anymore.
Right.
Just like if there was some big name on Orlando, then you would hear from them. But because there's not, you don't hear from them.
But the Lakers, it's like the Lakers what? They beat the Knicks. Okay. So they went to Madison Square Garden and they beat the 7th place team in the East.
Okay. And LeBron's done that 100 times already.
It's like, okay, but I'm saying it's not that it's not a story. Why is it the lead story? I think
they're really pushing it now because he's getting closer to Kareem.
Now, that part I understand, because it's going to be when he breaks the record. Okay? When he breaks the record, it is and justifiably is a big deal. That is a great tribute to longevity, excellence, and let's face it, what is LeBron, 39 now? The off-season dedication that he has is evident right now because he is still in phenomenal shape. I mean, so this guy does not let things go, okay? And I think we have to always recognize that, you know, the time, you know, we always talk about the humility to prepare. Preparation is always done when nobody else is watching. So it's how do you conduct yourself when nobody else is watching? This guy has obviously, over the years, always has worked on his game. He's always worked on his body. I mean, this guy's logging a lot of minutes when he plays games. And he's still out there performing at a high level. So when you sit there and you look at him, he may not be your favorite person on the planet, right? You know, for some people he is. They love him. He's got people that love him, and he's got people that don't love, you know, because, again, when you're, you know, at the top of your game and you're the focal point, I get it. But when he gets to that record, it's something that should be celebrated. He will have earned it along the way. Does he get too much publicity? Yeah. That's why I've always had the running joke about referring to him as Gandhi, not because of him, but because the media treats him that way. LeBron says, okay. I don't understand why the media is so transfixed by what he has to say about stuff. I mean, that's the media's fault. I mean, people can get up and can say anything they want. I mean, people are not transfixed by what you and I say, Matt. And we talk all the time, every day.
Shocking.
See, I felt the same way. I was shocked by that, too.
Oh, my almighty!
Yeah, but, you know, it's like, but I don't understand why they're transfixed by what he has to say all the time. Like, God, I mean, I know he has a lot of press conferences, but like, okay, you know. Well, he's been great at how he's his ability to use Twitter. Okay, they've got to give him credit for that. He's understood how, you know, to use it over the years. But I look at it today, and like his triple double against the Knicks, like that's like a game. It's a regular season game at the end of January in the NBA between a team that's out of the playoffs and one that's barely in the playoffs if they were to play today. What am I missing here?
Nothing. But this is the problem with the NBA, as I've said time and time again. It is literally about its stars and its front-runner fan base and nothing else.
Well, they made a conscious decision as a league years ago when they were trying to somehow, you know, get the league on track. In other words, like putting the names of the teams, they said, look, we got to start promoting stars here. So tonight it's Michael Jordan and the Bulls against Charles Barkley and the Suns. You know, they started, you know, doing that because they were trying to do what they could to promote the league. And the and it's carried over. By the way, the Washington-Detroit game postponed tonight because of the ice storm. And New Orleans had their travel altered as well because of the ice storm. Obviously, now, here in West Lafayette, there isn't a cloud in the sky. I don't know what it's like back in Sunbury, obviously. But the ice storm has hit the southern part of the country. Thousands of flights have already been grounded in Dallas-Fort Worth. And the Pistons had been... It was actually the Pistons that got waylaid because they were in Dallas, and they couldn't get back to play the home game. They spent 7 hours at the airport, and they had to go back to the hotel. And... New Orleans is supposed to play in Denver, and they played in Denver, I should say. They're staying there, and they're going to attempt to fly into Dallas to see if they can play tomorrow night if the weather lets them. So that's the weather causing some NBA delays.
It's been sunny here today, too. So
yeah, so I mean, so up here we're not affected by this, but the rest of the country has been affected by it. All right, we'll wrap it up in a moment. Just can't believe the audience, I mean, all these years, not transfixed to what we say. Is that what you're telling me?
I wish I had an answer for you.
Well, no. I mean, we've been told repeatedly that on Friday nights in the fall, people are transfixed to this station. Now, I'm trying to remember who told us that.
S-U-I-T. That spells SUDA.
On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point. Right away. I'm retiring. For good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first. So I won't be long-winded. Like you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year. So I really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me. My family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
You know, this was not a matter of fact thing here. Right? It was not a matter of fact deal, right? So, and that's what I found interesting because I mean I watched it this morning. I mean it was not a matter of fact. Hey, guys, I'm done. He got emotional about it. It meant something to him. look, the guy, he has played, 23 seasons, but he has played in 26 seasons worth of games. You say, why would you say 26 seasons? Because he played in 48 playoff games. That's three seasons worth right there. And that's what it's interesting because when I've talked about LeBron over the years, I talked about all those years that they went to the finals, and he'd play in the Olympics, and because he played in the Olympics in 4, which they didn't make the finals, 8, which they did, 12, they were in the finals, and then you play in the Olympics. Now you're playing basketball, like, with a small break. And, you know, all those extra games that you play in the playoffs add up to years. Now, LeBron says he's going to play a few more years in the league. I mean, he has said that. He says, look, I'm going to break the record of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He says, but I'm not going anywhere. He says, I'm going to continue to play games. And with Brady, you're talking about three. You know, at the age of 45, he's played 3 full seasons of playoff games in his career. That, you know, and believe me, that adds up. There's a toll to it. And I thought it was sincere. Matt, meanwhile, thinks he's going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't quite... I didn't quite get that. I thought they had a quarterback. So, you know, because he wanted to be with Doug P. Everybody does. No.
What was the famous saying about Doug P? Very special guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Bill Parcells won a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback, so did Doug P. Yeah. You do know that, right?
Yes, I do know that.
Yes, Jeff Hosteller.
Correct.
And we had Jeff's nephew on the show last year. Nate Stupar. Jeff's sister's... the Stupars live in State College. Jeff's sister is married to Steve Stupar. See, you learn something on the show, don't you?
Always do.
There you go. Hey, Penn State, Purdue. They got the number one team. You know what? Let's see what happens. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Ben Jones is going to join us tomorrow on the show from statecollege.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.